Hello. Hi, everybody. It's Carol here with Arts Live and Local. And I am delighted to be here. Wait, where am I? Well, I'm not very sure, but I know I'm with you on KMUN, Astoria, and KTCB Tillamook, and I am thrilled to be here with on this September 11th, and we've got some music to commemorate September 11th in many ways, and shout-outs to all of the people who are coming together today here on the West Coast, in Oregon, in our communities, and all over the country, as people came together in New York that particular date. If only we could all be coming together this way all the time. So here at Coast Community Radio, KMUN, that's what we're doing, and we're doing it through the arts. I have a fabulous first guest, and he and I are both celebrating virginity right here on KMUN. Hey, Garland Kirkpatrick, hello.
Hey there. Wherever we are.
It's true. Well, I am thrilled to have you here. And I want to let folks know why you're here. And that is because you've got a show at the Astoria Visual Arts Gallery, right on the corner of 10th and Duane, that's 1000 Duane, that is opening tomorrow for Astoria Art Walk. And unlike most art walks, tomorrow, perhaps these days, the whole day we'll be celebrating from noon until 8. I don't know if Garland's going to be there the whole time. Some of the artists are going to be in and out of their galleries. But the art will
be there. Sure.
And
thank you. And I hope that you and others can make it or find the opportunity to see the work.
Yes,
what an opportunity.
Well, I understand. I actually spoke to somebody who has seen the work on the walls and said it is extraordinary. Now, I already knew that because I've been looking at various websites and just so impressed with your vitality and precision of making the message. So I'm going to introduce you, but please correct me wherever you need to. I think of you as a graphic designer, but your feature is actually social justice work. I don't even know whether you do, quote, normal graphic design, whatever that might mean. One of the quotes that I read comes from Bertolt Brecht, who's one of my favorites since I performed in college his play, Three Penny Opera. Art is not a mirror held up to reality, but a hammer with which to shape it. And it looks to me, Garland, as though that's what you've been doing. The name of your show is Ad Nauseam. Why? Tell us what that means to you and anything you want to tell us about you. I can give folks a sketch. Garland comes from Chicago, lives in L.A., is or has been or is still making professor-like moves. I heard a rumor that you actually taught a class today. Is that possible?
I did. I taught a class online, my social design class, which meets on Fridays, and it was kind of wonderful to be able to give my students a preview of the work.
Before I go further, I
must thank the Astoria Visual Arts Association Center and the gallery director, Daniel Stearns, and the artist Kathy Stearns, who kind of made this opportunity possible. So I'm very indebted. It's been a kind of a seamless experience coming from L.A. through the fires, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, from the fires to the fires, but who would have thought it?
The ongoing, ongoing.
You come up here and you get light and sky, blue skies and fresh air. And
yes.
You walk right into a... So, you know, to a lot of people, including me, I've heard Daniel and Kathy Stern's names, but I have yet to meet them. Daniel is the new director, is that, of the...
I believe so. He's the director of the gallery. I'm not quite sure of the title, but it is kind of an interesting to see a community of artists formed around this, particularly in this area, to kind of explore these issues. It's very encouraging. So I'm very happy to be here.
Okay, so the issues include just about everything that is incredibly meaningful to me and to many others. So who are you? How did you come?
Who am I? Why am I here? Yes.
How did you even come to awareness of the subjects that you're covering, such as the criminal justice system, capital punishment, mass incarceration, police brutality, recidivism, the environment, HIV, AIDS, homophobia, immigrant rights, racism. Yes.
We're all over the place, aren't we? We're all in it.
We are in it.
In this fog of the moments before an election. I also want to acknowledge and honor those who, you know, risked their lives during this memorial and during 2001.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to kind of signal our need to be critical of when these things become political and in the way of our process of unity, of unifying us as a nation. You know, as I'm an American, I'm an African-American of many different heritages. My family has been here generationally. And it's all, the show for me is about unity, about unifying a base around the issues that persist. Ad nauseum is a reference to the vernacular of advertising. And it makes a point of really how with this kind of ubiquity that we're immersed in around commercial consumerism, which is not a new idea, that these vehicles become also mediums and strategies for our own production as artists, as writers, as, you know, our own voices, as makers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I'm framing this. The poster works, there are a range of works from graphic prints, which have been silkscreened and offset, all the way down to postcards, which then tie into what is actually a voter registration campaign to support U.S. Post Office via QR codes. And you can stop me if I'm babbling on too much.
No, please continue. This is what I want to hear. I'm looking at three images right now. I'm looking at the American pie that is missing part of the piece, P-I-E-C-E, and your comment, no economic justice, no peace, P-E-A-C-E, and two others. So I want you to tell us more about...
American Pie is in a regular newspaper that I publish. And in this case, it became a vehicle for the issues that don't go away.
Mm-hmm.
Which is economic justice. I mean, if we begin to understand the divisions and disparities that we're experiencing right at the moment via COVID and our you know, who is essential, who is not, as the economy is really contracting, and our experience of that, and the lack of leadership around that, we discover we're all in the same boat. So the posters, the American Pie signals that the absent peace sign is a metaphor of a pie chart, and it signals really the absence of political will to correct those things, the disparities between what we spend on, say, military, our kind of wrongheaded priorities in terms of
Right.
Serving the populace.
Right. Right. The values that are upside down.
Yes.
And then
That's a constant symbol,
mm-hmm.
and it's a recognizable one. So you'll see that in the show, obviously. But there are ties to that. The peace aspect is really tied to QR codes, which are tied, kind of move beyond print. We're going beyond ink on paper to use technology for immediate access. So you'll find postcards and posters that, you know, wave your phone over them, and they'll take you directly to either historical references around these issues or to, you know, check your voter registration to kind of get this thing going. So that's the idea. It's kind of a continuum of activity, which, yeah, I grew up in the 60s. I mean, I'm old enough to remember what good trouble meant.
Exactly.
The late John Lewis said that.
Right. Yeah, we're all about good trouble here. You're in the right place right now. AVA, you're on KMUN, lots of good trouble here. But but there isn't enough in the world. It is what we need. But your life seems to be full of it. So, question, do you create these from your own inspirations, from what's going on? As you say, so much of this is continual, and then perhaps a specific event might inspire you to do something. Or is there someone you are making these things for?
Yeah, so it's a mix of those things. I mean, what you started to describe, the way the activity of graphic design in the service of clients and corporations, I'm mm-hmm. taking that same vernacular, that same language of typography and imagery, and I'm focusing it on things that, yes, that stir my heart,
mm-hmm.
which are actually, you know, quite connected to my neighbors, right? The people beside me.
Mm-hmm.
So they're problems that we all can kind of tap into. I found when I started making projects such as these that they're cathartic. They have a healing value to try to tie these factual elements together in memorable ways. And so what graphic design does is it's very good at kind of memorializing or actually recognizing and pointing to, you know, the kind of persistent problems. So I've just tried to re-engineer that. That's not a new tack because you know, we know that culture jamming kind of really flourished in the 90s and such. Which use this strategy of substitution and appropriation.
Mm-hmm.
But really, for me, it is about this kind of continuum of time, you know, growing up black in the 60s and experiencing these tragedies of assassinations and
mm-hmm.
kind of racial strife, and then understanding the continuum between the civil rights movement and the women's movement and the development of the gay rights movement into the 21st century, and we find that it brings us right to the present moment. Those messages are still relevant. And without that,
perhaps more relevant than ever right
yes.
now. It feels somehow that we're going around in circles. Do you feel hopeful? You said you've got, I don't know who your students are. Are they young people or are they all ages? Or?
Yes, my students at Loyola Marymount, or my brilliant students, are... Yes, they're in their 20s. They're of age. This may be their second election to vote in.
Oh,
and
wow.
They're all under the COVID, you know, we're all in lockdown in that, or incarcerated in that way, to use
mm-hmm.
the term. And so, you know, here I am, a 60-year-old man with comorbidities. I guess I'm the kind of challenged demographic of all of this, kind of driving it. It is partially an experiment, but also way of showing, yes, there's hope. We have to work through to the other side of this to determine, to shape that new normality that's occurring as makers, as producers. And we also have to drive our kind of our politics in the right direction in that. So some of the posters are made to recognize the great activism that's been going on in this, you know, in Portland and elsewhere, right? I mean,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a poster for the wall that I've designed specifically for the wall, to memorialize the wall of, the Wall of Bombs action.
Mm-hmm.
There are posters memorializing the kind of BIPOC connections to indigenous peoples. There are posters about the recent shootings, the mass killings of African Americans by the police, which, you know, these are ongoing situations that, you know, cross color lines. I mean, certainly. And so we're kind of, by memorializing these things, they don't disappear.
Absolutely.
There's statuesque in that way.
And I'm wondering, when you were a kid, now you were in Chicago in the 60s, but were you a doodler? Were you immediately taken by making art, by drawing?
Well,
how did you navigate? Because I understand you went to Amherst College and got your BA in English, and then you went right over back to Chicago for the Institute of Design, and then you got your MFA from the Yale School of Art. So you've kind of woven
it. I've been in school a long time, huh? And still in it, but it's fresh in the mind. I think children have this kind of natural proclivity to do this work. I mean, we look effortlessly, right? And we lose that somewhere along the way in our education. As a child, we made art and drew what we saw.
Mm-hmm.
We have understanding the world. So certainly, you know, I recall the, I don't have any images of the 68 Democratic Convention, but certainly I remember just kind of the great tensions in the community that we lived in during that time. So as a motive, the kind of design aspect, I fell in love with the history of design as a maker and understand, you know, growing up in Chicago, the architecture and the, you know, it's a design town, but mm-hmm. it was heavy segregated politics.
Mm.
Communities are divided, but pristine architecture, and you have the whole history of modernism really kind of taking off with the new Bauhaus Chicago. And so the Institute of Design had an historical connection, but my first grade school teacher was the first graduate student of the new Bauhaus, so Robert Erickson. And, you know, at an early age, you know, you learned the foundation of color theory, and we didn't call it that, but we made pinhole cameras and we did all kinds of things. So to be able to utilize and bank on that kind of those visual skills now, it's kind of wonderful how it all kind of comes together. We all have this kind of visual sensibility that could be awakened and utilized.
People use it in so many different ways. But of course, what thrills my heart is the way you're using your talents and skills and knowledge. Have you then always been a political animal, would you say?
I think that, that kind of goes
with the territory. You can disagree with my terminology, please.
Sometimes that goes with the terminology of skin. Sometimes it goes with the terminology of our experience. I think it's a dimension, yes. And whether it's in the foreground or the midfield or the background,
mm-hmm.
it's
gotcha.
There.
Gotcha. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Well, the sophistication, did you come, for our listeners, I'm getting to know Garland just as you are. So I wish I could say call in with your questions, but this isn't a call-in show, so I get the privilege. Did you always feel that this is what you wanted to do, that you wanted to be an artist? Did you grow up in an artistic home, or did anyone encourage you?
Yeah, my mother and my teachers. I've mm-hmm. had the best teachers along the way, from second grade, Miss Pliss, who allowed me to write a school play, and we illustrated it, and it was produced. You know, so I have had some great nurturing experiences. My father was a physician, and we, you know, as a junior, we kind of butted heads around the validity of the arts, you know, coming from a black middle class family. That was, mm-hmm. was more about survival. You're going to be the next generation of doctors and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Move forward. My mother, however, cultivated these interests in me, and I get my creativity, I believe, from there.
Mm-hmm.
She encouraged us and nurtured that. So I'm glad about that.
Yeah.
In college, the pre-med thing didn't work out, and I picked up Joseph Albers' The Interaction of Color. And
right.
It was a book of poems about ways of seeing, right? Understanding the interaction of the image and what it could mean and its possibilities. A very thin book. I still read it every once in a while and didn't realize at the time the whole kind of legacy and tradition that came to the U.S., these emigres,
mm-hmm.
and its contribution to our kind of everything we're experiencing now. So I've tried to pull that together.
Colors,
the content's a little different.
Speaking of colors, most of what we see of your work is black and white, but I understand there is a piece in the show that is just bursting in color. Did I get that right?
Yes, we're going beyond seeing red.
My informant did a good job.
Red and black.
Tell us about it.
They're hot pinks. They're all kinds of palettes. Something for everyone. But you'll see that what the colors signal, hopefully, is more meaningful. The yellow, the big yellow poster with the pink type of Reese's sister is for the Wall of Moms. Is a kind of a symbolic tie of an acknowledgement. The kind of multicolored typography in the indigenous U.S. poster. Mm-hmm. there's color punctuating the show, and
mm-hmm.
hopefully that becomes a signal,
mm-hmm.
you know, that these issues are alive. You know, they're not just historic.
Oh,
they are
sadly, it would be nice if it was just history and we were all moving right along together, but these issues, every single one of them that I've been reading about in your work or looking at, is still very much alive and relevant and needing the hammer to shape it.
Yes.
So thank you for being the hammer.
Oh, cheers.
Yeah. So I do want to let folks know that your work is, in addition to being here in Astoria at the AstoriaVisualArts.org, by the way, folks, check that out, and you can see some of Garland Kirkpatrick's work. And come tomorrow during the day, or the show will be up for the month. And if you live here, you know that AVA is right on the corner of 10th and Duane, and it's got two big windows. And so I don't know if all the work will be visible, but hopefully we'll be able to see some, even when the gallery is closed. It will be open tomorrow for Art Walk, noon to 8, and then Fridays and Saturdays, noon to 4, and also by appointment. And you can call their phone or go online and get all the information. Garland, are you going to be able to stick around Astoria for a while?
I'll be around. We'll see if they open up the borders between California and Oregon, but it's nice being up here, I'll tell you.
So. I would love to keep you here and look forward to I just wish we could just have a great big party and a great big and a big teaching and sharing of all of this. So I started to say, in addition to Garland Kirkpatrick's work being here in Astoria, he's a graphic designer, artist, curator, educator, as you heard. His work is also in many museum collections and design and printing archives, including the American Institute of Graphic Arts, the Los Angeles County Museum of Art, the Center for the Study of Political Graphics, Self-Help Graphics, and the Zurich University Museum of Design, and published all over the place. And I wonder, do you do non-political work as well?
Oh, I do. But what I find is that there's a balance in any diet, right? And hopefully, being a cultural producer and author, right, in terms of kind of directing topics of my own interest is much more fulfilling. But yes, I do. I'm a book designer. I work with museums and other publications.
Nice. And another one of the pieces that you can see on the historiavisualarts.org website, these are just great, these pieces, the series there, Our Tax Dollar, Our Tax Cents, CENTS, /dollar at work in 2008. I love the way you play with words. And then the quote underneath from Martin Luther King Jr., a nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death. Here we are, folks. So it's so good to know you are not only out there, but you're in here, Garland and Kirkpatrick. Thank you so much for coming to Astoria. I really look forward to seeing your work and to meeting you in person sometime, and hope you'll come back. I'm glad you have a relationship with someone who is planning to stick around Astoria. Someone's, Daniel and Kathy Stearns, and I hope that will bring you back to us many times.
Anything else you would like to tell folks? Until you go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. You're listening to KMUN Astoria. Folks, don't forget it. We are in the middle of a pledge drive, membership drive. We can use your support at coastradio.org or P.O. Box 269, Astoria, Oregon. Or you sometimes can reach us by telephone. Not right now, perhaps, because we're using the phones. That's why it's been a virgin experience for me and for Daniel on KMUN. And thanks, Nevada.
Late afternoon back in New York town, waking up as the wheels touch down, pick up my guitar and walk away. Wish I was going home to stay. Line of taxis, I wait my turn. Tire and asphalt, exhaust and fumes. Beside the road on a patch of ground, taxi drivers are kneeling down. Neath the concrete sky, I watch them pray, while the people of the world hurry on their way. I think they're praying for us all today, the stories that fell from the sky that day. This is the land of the living. This is the land that's mine. She still watches over Manhattan. She's still holding on to that torch for life. Fire still burning, I can see it in the air. Pictures of faces posted everywhere. They say hazel eyes, chestnut hair. Mother of two, missing down there. I pass the firemen on duty tonight. Carpets of flowers and candlelight. And thank you in a child's scrawl, taped to the Third Street firehouse wall. The shadows of the lost on the faces I see. Brothers and strangers on this island of grief. There's death in the air, but there's life on this street. There's life on this street.
So, is Laura there with me?
I sure am.
Oh, hi, Laura.
Hi.
Hi. See, this is the joys of of virgin experiences. You're never quite sure what's going on, and we learn. And
seems to be the motto of the year.
There you go. So, Laura, first I want you to pronounce your name for me.
So it's Laura Hamjay.
Hamjay, okay.
Yes.
Spelled H-A-M-J-E. And Laura Hamjay is got an exhibit opening her second solo show at Imogen Gallery, and the show is called In the Clouds, and I am delighted with the images. I was surprised when I read that they were oil on panels. Quick logistic question. What are the panels made of?
So just pieces of wood that have a frame on the back.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a luminescence about your work that it's kind of an ethereal feeling coming from the paintings, called In the Clouds. And there's lots of sky, but also the big feature is the Astoria Megler Bridge. Am I right?
Yes, I am obsessed with your bridge.
I love it. Now, do you live in Seattle?
I do. For about 15 years now, I grew up in Austin, Texas.
Oh, okay. Interesting. People go from here to there, and now you've come this way. So
it's the extremes, I guess.
Yeah, in many ways. So you've spent time here on the coast in the Lower Columbia. What brings you here? And give us a little bit of your background in the arts.
Sure. Yeah, I first was introduced to this area when I was invited for a juried exhibition, the All Natural.
Ah, okay.
Back when I was doing more figures and nudes.
Okay. Yeah.
And once I saw this bridge, I drove over it, pictures like crazy. I started just painting bridges. And, you know, and then the landscape surrounding it is just exciting and beautiful, and just how the clouds change in every instance. It's endless material for painting.
Yeah. Now, are you usually looking from Astoria over to Washington so you see the landscapes rather than houses, or rather natural landscapes rather than houses?
I do tend to look that way because I usually spend the time in Astoria, so if you're walking along the water, I usually look across to the Washington side, but I also have driven down the coast of Oregon, different spots there. The beach and the ocean, which I also fell in love with.
So, but is it the Astoria Bridge particular that, because in this show, that's what we're looking at, or you did that kind of introduce you to loving all bridges?
You know, that is, the Astoria Bridge is my main love, and I've discovered I don't love all bridges.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know why I pick this one over others. I did do a series of the viaduct in Seattle.
Now, wait a minute. Speaking of which, let me take a look. I think I read that you have a new book. Is it out or coming out?
It came out last weekend.
Congratulations.
Chatwin
congratulations.
Book.
Yeah. Wow. So the name of it is Concrete Ghost, Seattle's Vanished Viaduct, and Emerging Paintings by Laura Hamjay. Is that
perfect?
That's a long title, Laura.
Well, you know, it's
you got it all.
There's
in
a lot
there.
Going on.
So what is the book?
I did an original series of the viaduct before it was torn down. So it was about 55 images.
Oh.
And then I started, after the viaduct was torn down, I started visiting the waterfront, doing paintings of, you know, what it looks like now under construction, and as it evolves into the supposedly beautiful parks one day. So, so there's some writing contributions also in the book, but it's mainly a painting book.
Okay. So, and the writing is by you as well?
There's some stuff by me, but there's Mark Henshaw contributed, Brian Ono, who was my gallerist, and then a few other musicians and artists in the area.
Okay. And I have no idea how old you are, but interestingly, I noticed you went to UW, University of Washington, and then you popped over to Rome, Italy, for some artwork. But then you also attended the Chicago Art Institute, which my last guest, Garland Kirkpatrick, also attended. He's from Chicago, so made sense. But is this your life is making art? Have you always been involved in it, or do you have what some call a day job? Or
I do have a day job. Luckily, I get to work 3 days a week only, 30-hour weeks, and I'm a staff accountant for a healthcare company.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Very different from painting.
Right. Well, I can see why you need to make art, and also why the bridge, the expansiveness of the bridge and the sky, perhaps. I also wanted to know, I saw that at least the works that are shown on Imogen Gallery, did I mention that? Yes, you are opening at Imogen Gallery, which is at 240 11th. That's 11th and Marine Drive, and that is also part of Astoria Art Walk tomorrow. Most of the work that Terry put on the web is the bridge work and is oil on panels. But there's the last one, which just sort of bursts out, is called Eclipsed. Tell us about that as well.
Yeah, that one is just pure nature. I stayed out on the coast a few years ago, and the sky was just incredible. Dark, but with this beautiful burst of light coming through and just tickling the water. That painting actually took quite a while to try to get that light to really come through those dark clouds.
It works. It works.
Yeah.
And it looks as though that was the only one, at least in this, I don't know if it's in the whole show, but that was painted on canvas.
Yeah, there's a few on linen and canvas in the show, too. I like to kind of change surfaces.
So what? How does it make the difference for you? Does it have anything to do with the subject matter, or is it what's the difference in actually painting on these different surfaces? What does it do for you?
Well, the panels are, it's kind of more practical. It's just a little more affordable to do the small ones and panels for me.
Mm-hmm. How big are they?
Just being practical.
How big are the panels? I didn't notice.
11 by 14 are usually the size.
Oh, wow. That's amazing because I didn't look at the numbers, and looking at the work, I thought they were much bigger, because they feel so expansive, and that's wonderful. So.
Yeah, there's some larger ones in the show, but I tried to keep them a little bit smaller for the show.
Well, they're all very luscious, and one can get lost in them. There's a lot of sort of a melancholy, not melancholy, but nostalgia, a nostalgic feeling, just sort of sitting looking out. But that one Eclipsed struck me because, of course, right now so many of us are living in a, it's not really dark here, it's just sort of that sickly yellow gray, but people in other parts of the West Coast are in real darkness, so that felt like it felt very timely in a way. And And what other kinds of work do you do in the arts besides bridges?
Well, bridges, landscapes, I've been focusing on that for the last many years.
Because
I do branch off into full abstraction sometimes, and my background is in figurative work. So
yes, that's what I was thinking. You mentioned au naturel. And do you always work in oil?
Typically, oils. I do some smaller works in oil pastel or gouache.
Uh-huh.
But
yeah,
oil's my favorite for sure.
And is there an issue with fumes? Speaking of what we're going through right now between COVID and fire smoke.
Yeah, I do paint at home now, so I've had to. I don't use turpentine, so I tell myself that I'm probably okay, but I do air out when I can my house quite a bit, so.
Okay, I'm glad to hear it. Keep you safe. Well, the show is quite beautiful. It's I think especially locals, but actually everybody will enjoy being able to see that. Will the book be there at the Imogen Gallery?
The book will be there, yes.
Well?
It'll be available.
Okay,
yeah.
So we can have a look at that. Emerging Concrete Ghost, Seattle's Vanished Viaduct and Emerging Paintings. I love that. Vanished Viaduct and Emerging Paintings. Nice combination by Laura Hamjay. And this is, again, opening tomorrow, and it will be up for the month at Imogen Gallery, 240 11th Street in Astoria. And do you have a website, Laura?
I do. It's just my last name.com, so hamjay.com.
And that's, again, Hamje. It's an unusual name. So we'll get that down. Hamjay.com. Thank you so much for visiting. And again, congratulations on the show and on the book. Very exciting. So
thank you very much.
Continue to enjoy the bridge. Can you? Are you in Astoria now, or are you in Seattle?
I'm in Astoria now. Yeah.
Can you see the bridge right now?
Not where I'm sitting, but maybe I'll venture out for a second and take a look. I could see it yesterday, just barely, yeah.
Okay, I was just wondering because where I am, it's kind of hard to see a lot of stuff. You know, the sky is so strange. So enjoy, and thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye.
And we've got one last piece of music. Mark Knopfler and Emmy Lou Harris, take it away, Nevada.
My famous last words are laying around in tatters, sounding absurd. Whatever I try, but I love you, and that's all that really matters. If this is goodbye, if this is goodbye.
Bright shining song would light up the way before me. You were the one made me feel I could fly, and I love you. Whatever it is waiting for me, if this is goodbye, if this is goodbye.
If this is goodbye. Carol here with KMUN. CoastRadio.org, if you would like to make a donation, support the arts, support the radio station, support your community, and give a gift. I wanted to mention, before I invite my last guest in, that the Columbia River Maritime Museum has is presenting in their store the Tidewater Reach Field Guide to the Lower Columbia River in Poems and Pictures. And this is, I haven't seen it yet, but I am looking forward to it, a new book of poetry from naturalist and writer Robert Michael Pyle. That'd be Bob Pyle to those of us here. Is now online or at the museum store, and this is in collaboration with the fabulous Cathlamet photographer Judy Vandermaten, who's does wonderful work. I have a piece of her work hanging upstairs celebrating Columbia River Keeper. They both were our keynote speaker and key photographer one year. So this is a different way of seeing and experiencing the Northwest. Beautiful book, Verses and Visions, The Tidewater Reach. And if you check out Columbia River Maritime Museum, or just put in Tidewater Reach, I bet you'll be able to find it and have a look. Bob is probably going to be with us in a few weeks. He's very much alive, but he's going to be with us on arts. Actually, it looks like, maybe next week. So I didn't realize it was so soon. So he can tell you more about it. Right now, I have Hope Montgomery. Hi, Hope.
Hi.
Hey, I'm so glad you made it.
Thanks.
And Hope is here from the Bay City Arts Center. And some people are not familiar with the Bay City Arts Center, but KMUN folks, many of us are, because, as I mentioned to Hope, I'm not sure you knew, but the person who gave KMUN our telecom house and the person who created the Bay City Arts Center are one and the same, and that would be Helen Patty. So we are sisters or sister and brother or however it works. The Bay City Arts Center is a wonderful place. It's a large space. I think it was, wasn't it Odd Fellows or what was it before?
It was a Masonic Hall.
Masonic Hall. Okay. It's got lots of good space, and it's also in a wonderful setting off-road. And you are going to be offering a printmaking workshop this weekend. Is that right?
That's right. We're doing a printmaking workshop, and we'll be using linoleum. Our goal this weekend is to make T-shirts, but I'm sure we'll do some prints as well.
So do most people make T-shirts using with linoleum blocks? I wasn't aware of that.
Well, I don't know if most people do it, but it's something that we're going to try, and I know it's possible to do. I've made T-shirts.
Okay, because it's hard to do some stuff on fabric that you can do on paper, but I saw the photograph of perhaps your hands doing the work there, and it looked quite exciting. Now, the good news is that it's happening. The bad news is, well, maybe not. Do you still have room for anybody in the workshop?
You know, we are full right now. We cap it to 10 people so that we're following COVID guidelines. But we've had a few people drop and then people from the wait list bump up. So it's,
okay.
You know, it's still worth knowing about, and there's opportunities, if not now, especially in the future, to do it again.
Okay. So I know that you're an artist. I don't think we've met. You draw, you do stone sculpture, and then you do something, I don't know what it means, wooden trees in stone. What does that mean? Do you sculpt trees, or are these real trees, or live trees, or
yeah.
what?
So it's trees into driftwood pieces, and scroll saw to make these kind of linear line trees, and I mount those into driftwood that I find out on the beach to make it kind of look sort of like the landscape we see around here, haystacks with trees on them and kind of silhouettes of just the landscape that we have around here.
Okay. And what about the stone sculpture? And that may involve you and your colleague, Charlie Woodridge. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. So I've learned that here at the Bay City Art Center, and we use black basalt and sandstone, and recently we've even had some red marble, and we use hand carving tools. I really enjoy to do faces, but people around here do all sorts of different things. And it's been a really fun medium to get to know. It's become one of my favorites very quickly.
Wow, that sounds. So, what do you use to? Do you chip away at the rock, or?
Yeah, so we use a hammer and a chisel, kind of just the way that you imagine carving in your head.
Yep.
But there are people that use Dremels and machines as well. I've not tried that yet, but I've been
so
excited about this.
And who was your teacher?
I learned from Charlie, and Charlie and a few other people here learned from a workshop from a guy named DJ, and I'm not sure his last name, but...
Okay, because I remember quite a while ago, actually, this idea... was, you know, the first time it was announced, and it sounded very iffy, and apparently it went so well that people have continued, obviously, and maybe we may even have Charlie come in next week, unless he's standing right there with you and wants to talk about it right now. But what else you, what it says, drawing, what kind of, are you still doing all of these things?
I am. I draw a lot. I lead the figure drawing classes when we're having them
during
regular times here at the Art Center. And I also play and write music as well.
Oh. So do you live right there in Tillamook County?
I do live in Tillamook County, down in Rockaway Beach.
Okay. And you were a board member of Bay City Art Center. Tell us the structure of Bay City Art Center. Is it a cooperative place, or what's the idea there?
It's a community space. We do pancake breakfasts once a month. Once again, all of this is when COVID is not happening, so we're not having those right now.
Mm-hmm.
We do meals together, and then all sorts of different art workshops and classes and concerts. So there's a performance hall upstairs, if you're familiar with this space. And then downstairs we have kind of a dining room, and then another room that's kind of an art, more like the art workshop. And we also do a lot of educational art things in partnership with the schools in our county. So, for example, the Da Vinci Project, where kids invent invent something, and then they come into the Art Center and they build it out of recycled goods with folks from the Art Center, and it's really neat. They have a gallery after that, and it's a very fun event.
That's fabulous. I love, because that's the thing that's closest to my heart, is keeping art and music, art of all kinds, in the schools. I think it's one of the most important things we can do children for many reasons to help them and all of us get through this world in a positive, joyful way and creative. So the printmaking workshop, though, is that something that is kind of fell to you, or is that a passion of yours, or where does that...
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just wondering where it comes from, because I know that you're going to have people. And are these adults coming in, or are they all age, or what?
This weekend it will be all adults, but it's open to people of any age. We just only had adults sign up this time. I have been wanting to do a printmaking workshop at the Art Center for a little while now. I did woodblock printmaking in college and really enjoyed it and knew it was something that we would like to have around here. So we're starting off. That's kind of why we're starting off with the T-shirts. It's our first
printmaking
workshop in a while, so we decided to start with something kind of simple and fun.
Yep, and you get to take it home and wear
That's
it.
That's right.
And it's
That's
a good
right.
advertisement for that. Where did you get that beautiful T-shirt?
Right.
Bay City Art Center. What's the website for BCAC?
It's the Bay City Arts Center. Weebly.com. And so it Bay City Arts, and arts is plural, center.weebly, weebly.com.
Okay. Or just type in Bay City Arts Center, Oregon. I bet, hopefully it's the only one, otherwise put Tillamook, Oregon, and you'll get there.
Right.
Hope Montgomery, thank you so much, because I am thrilled. I've taken workshops. I actually took a Jews Harp workshop many years ago. There used to be a Jews Harp festival every year for a while, and I've gone to concerts there, and I've had not breakfasts but dinners there. It's a wonderful place, and it's very community friendly and oriented, and even those of us from outside the community are always welcome. So thank you so much for bringing that to us and for bringing the printmaking. Now, if folks do want to sign up for the wait list, what should they do?
They email me, and they can find that email on our Facebook page. Or I can tell you what that is.
Sure.
Yeah, hope.montgomery04@gmail.com. And also put a plug in for the stone carving. We have that next weekend, and they can sign up by emailing me once again at hope.montgomery04@gmail.com next weekend, too.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much, Hope, for being with us here on KMUN. I've been trying to get Bay City Arts Center in for years, and I'm so glad this worked out for you to join us. So have a great weekend.
You as well.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay.
Folks, I do want to let you know that the Liberty is having its, I think it's the third weekend of films, 7 o'clock tonight, 4 o'clock tomorrow. That's this weekend is Western Skies, and you need to go to libertyastoria.org and get your ticket. I'll tell you also that tomorrow, as we mentioned, is Saturday Art Walk in Astoria, and we've got... may have heard last week, Secret Gallery is featuring Sins of the Father, with Father and their artist father and progeny, which is very exciting. Brumfield Gallery has Dawning Splendor, Kamala, Dolphin Kingsley, and Mary Elaine Thomas. Vaulted is featuring the Halem artist Shakya Decker. Paul Paulson Gallery is featuring Self and John Willis. Astoria Institute of Music and Center for the Arts. Wow, that's a mouthful. Lisa Ackerman, Deanna Horton, Cass Mullen, and Peter Unanda is going to be playing piano. That's 1159 Marine. Riversea, Shifting Fragments, Oscar DeMasi, Cambium Gallery, Vintage Hardware, Salvage Collage, A Sort of Magic, West Coast Artisans with Jess Gillies and Crystal Neighbor. And also tomorrow, Southwester is live streaming Portland musician Ezra Rose, and the Art Loft has Michael Brundage workshops Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 4. And Wednesday, the Hoffman is featuring Happy Hour.